As it says, it depends on the level of your practice, and according to that level of your practice is the level of the state of realization that you have. And this will determine what type of appearances you experience. So everybody, go and practice. Don't talk so much. Don't talk about your practice, talking about the things that you haven't realized. No use in doing this. If you haven't realized the practices, don't talk about them. If you have attained good realizations in practice, then everything is merit. The only person that needs to know is your guru. You don't need to tell other people about what you are realizing. The fact that I attain enlightenment or Buddhahood is not anything for anybody else to be told. Just you attain enlightenment, just like Huainan Master. He said he's not requesting for anything other than the instructions that will help him to attain enlightenment. And the students that are able to attain enlightenment are just like this. And really, for all of you, when you are practicing, if you have any state of realization, don't go and share it with everybody else. This is not of merit. This is a negative way of dealing with things. And what will happen is that then when you go and meditate again, you find that you just can't find the state of realization anymore. You just feel empty-handed. And this is the same also for attaining renunciation and bodhicitta. First, we must attain the standard as suggested by our guru. And when we have this, then the guru might say that we can go and teach. And this was my experience also with His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche. When I started teaching, really, the first is that I used to be very, very tired. And the second was that I used to find that, oh, this is really quite difficult. I realized I didn't have so much bodhicitta. And then also I was practicing these pith instructions. And really, after a few years, I was starting to lose belief in myself. And I went to speak to His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, and I said, I will make a vow to go and going to retreat for my entire life. He said, why are you suggesting this? And I replied that, really, it's very difficult. I don't have this ability to benefit sentient beings, and there are others that are much better than me. And immediately, His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche really got very angry with me. He said, did you not going to retreat for your whole life and your previous life? When all of the sentient beings are free from samsara, you can go and retreat again. And I got a big fright, this very fierce look that he gave me, this angry appearance. And I just said, all right, His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, I will teach. I will teach for this whole life. Even when I'm dead, I will be teaching. I said, please, don't be unhappy. And then he just started to laugh. And then he was full of cherishing. And this is my practice experience. Because I myself am quite a difficult person. Now me, this difficult person, leading other people in practice. In the beginning, I was really quite happy to lead the students in practice and to teach and to talk with them. I taught them the six bardos. I really taught the Tibetan and the Han students a lot of Dharma. And then eventually I thought, oh, this is really so difficult. It's really quite scary. Some of the people much better than me. Some of the people the same as me. And then after a while, I went running to His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche and said, I want to go into retreat for the rest of my life. In reality, it was me trying to avoid it, escape it. It wasn't an act of bodhicitta. And he didn't agree. And then, whatever is the request of my great Lama, I will do that. Most important is that our guru is full of cherishing and happy. And we must practice well. And in terms of Buddhism and in terms of cause and effect, there is, in reality, no way we will ever be able to repay the great merit of our guru. Really, this is the case. In all our lives, we will not be able to repay their kindness. And this I know from my own experience. If I didn't meet the enlightened gurus and get their guidance and their teachings, then would be continuously revolving around in samsara. However, through meeting with a guru, receiving their guidance and their teachings, and then of course adding our own diligence, our own conscientiousness, and following according to the teachings of the guru, then there is a very good possibility that in this lifetime we could attain liberation and enlightenment. And so all of the students always remember the great merit and have great gratitude to the guru. Now, how do we repay this great merit and kindness and benevolence of our guru? Is to request for the Dharma and to practice it well. Study and reflect and practice well. Study to a certain degree and then apply all of this in practice. This is repaying the great kindness of our parents and of our benevolent guru. And this is also a merit to enable us to benefit sentient beings. You must look very clearly at who you are and look very clearly at your own mind. And then be very clear of what Dharma we should be practicing. And so everybody, return home, practice well. Maybe right now we're not able to see clearly the merit of the benevolence of the Guru. Right now we might be thinking, oh, this is very important and that is very important. However, later on we might really understand that through the practice this was of great and is of great merit, having met with the Guru and receiving the teachings and putting them into practice. It could be that the results of this practice really makes a significant change and is of such great benefit, even although maybe now we are thinking, oh, that person is the most important to me and this situation and that is the most important to me. But samsara turns. I rejoice in everybody coming here and I see that everybody is practicing very well. However, continue practicing. Recite another 108 mantras. Keep on moving forward conscientiously. If you don't practice, then what is the purpose of me giving you all of these teachings? Why should I teach? And that you can practice to this extent to date, continuously following the guru in this time of the degenerate age. This already is very good. However, keep on going. Attain more profound realizations. Improve step by step in your practice. And in this way, our distance between ourselves and samsara will become greater and greater. Liberation we still have to achieve through our own efforts, through our belief, through our meditative concentration. And as you said, meditative concentration is very important. However, it isn't everything. We can attain great states of meditative stability, even for eons. However, this might not bring us to enlightenment. Most important is what? Is the great energy, the power of faith. Our great faith in Buddha is the easiest method for us to be able to attain Buddhahood. However, this has to be accompanied with the mastery of meditative concentration. And in this way, very easily, we can recognize the true nature of mind. As I said in the beginning, we are just like a piece of ice, a block of ice in a refrigerator. And when it melts, it becomes water. The same as well, we transform into attaining Buddhahood. How do we melt this ice? Through study, reflection, and practice. We don't have to add all kinds of different things. What we need to do is practice. We need to return to this true nature of mind. Not we have to add this or add that. So everybody, you must understand these methods. It's very important. And I really rejoice and praise in everybody's practice. Sure.